Sporty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports. Stand up! Stand up!
Stand up! Stand up! Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off with Kofi Apari, defender for D.C. United, the Major League Soccer team based here in Washington, D.C. I had a chance to chat with Kofi after a recent training session near RFK Stadium, where D.C. United plays its home matches, but that'll change next year when the team moves to the new 20,000-seat Audi Field, located not far from our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. 26-year-old Kofi Apari is in his fifth MLS season, and it's been his most productive. Let's listen in now as I say, Kofi, welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Thanks for having me.
Kofi, quick Voice of America history lesson. This is the 75th anniversary year of the Voice's first broadcast. We do broadcast to Ghana. Talk about your ties to Ghana.
Yeah, my family's from Ghana. I was born in Ghana as well. So, you know, that's home for me.
I understand you also lived in South Africa for a while?
That is correct. I lived there for 10 years.
And growing up, your first love was not soccer, but cricket?
It was cricket. You know, cricket is big in South Africa. And that's the sport that caught my attention at such a young age. I just grew up loving it.
I don't think they love it quite so much here in the States, but do you follow it now?
Not as much as I used to, but from time to time I try to catch the action here and there, but it's just hard to watch cricket matches here.
Talk about your season so far with DC United. You have career highs in several statistical categories. Talk about your season. Are you pleased so far with your performance?
No, there's still a lot that, you know, I want to accomplish. So far, I think I've done okay, done all right. But the more I can help this team, the better off, you know, I would be and will be as a team.
DC United, a very international team, based in a very international city. Your background, born in Ghana, and you have citizenship with the USA and Canada. Hypothetically, you could play for three different national teams. Do you have any goals in terms of national team duty?
Yes, my goal is to play at the international level. You know, whatever country comes calling, I'll be more than willing to play for them.
Has Ghana come calling?
Not really. I met up with their coach one time, but that was about it. You know, he just told me he's watching my games, but yes, as far as that went, I guess.
Talk about your relationship with DC United's goalkeeper, Bill Hamid.
Yeah, Bill's a good friend of mine. Ever since I came to the club in 2014, I met him, and we've been real close ever since. You know, he's my roommate when we travel, and we spend a lot of time together.
Bill recently held that auction to raise money for people in Sierra Leone. Did you participate in that auction where they kind of auctioned off DC United jerseys and equipment?
Well, not to his charity per se, but I do have a good friend that is from Sierra Leone, Kai Kamara, who plays in this league, and I donated to his charity, which is helping people in Sierra Leone after the floods.
You mentioned the cricket. What else do you like to watch or do outside of professional soccer?
I like to read. I like to watch TV, watch movies, pretty much just relax. But I'll say, like, music is my biggest thing. I love listening to music. It helps me relax, calm my nerves down, and, you know, it gives me a positive look on life.
Do you listen to music before matches?
Of course I do, yeah.
What about your goals after your soccer career is over? Do you have any particular occupation or profession in mind?
Well, in school, I studied at neuroscience and African American studies. So that doctor, the medical route is always there. But the older I get, I'm gravitating less towards that and more into like business, sports business. So maybe a position in that field.
Sports business, DC United moving into a new facility next year, Audi Field. What do you think about that new facility?
It's great. It's great for the city. It's great for our fans. Obviously, it's been a long, long time before, you know, DC United has a soccer-specific stadium. And, you know, the fans deserve it. The players, coaching staff are looking forward to it. You know, especially with this club and its history. Next year, we're all excited to see, to play in Audi Field. So, yeah, we're excited for it.
Kofi Opare, defender for DC United. Thanks for talking with us, Kofi.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Kofi Opare, defender for DC United. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
You know, this is the biggest fight for us and for boxing. This is huge, true fight. This is history fight. I believe this is not last fight for us. You know, just maybe this is the first fight. I believe I have second fight too.
That's Gennady Triple G Golovkin, who believes he'll fight Saul Canelo Alvarez more than once. Triple G and Canelo will fight for the first time on Saturday night in Las Vegas, Nevada, in a highly anticipated World Middleweight Championship showdown. The undefeated 35-year-old Triple G has defended his World Middleweight title 18 times, too shy of Bernard Hopkins's record at that weight class. Triple G's promoter, Tom Loeffler, describes his bout against 27-year-old Canelo as a legacy fight. I asked our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Mueta, about the 8-year age difference between Canelo and Triple G and whether it'll be a factor Saturday night.
Son, it will make a big, big difference because remember, Canelo is a young 27 who moved up in weight. There was no need for him to make weight at 160 or squeeze himself down. He will be fresh going into the fight Saturday night because his natural weight will be, because in the past he's fought at 147 and 154, but now he's moving up to 160. But the big question becomes, will he bring that power upstairs to 160? We will know Saturday night.
Namdi, earlier you talked about the financial numbers for Mayweather-McGregor, which was not a sellout at the T-Mobile Arena. Do you think the arena will be full for Triple G Canelo?
Oh, Sonny, the arena sold out in 9 days. 20,000 people already paid for it. The pay-per-view numbers will not come close to what Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather did. But yeah, the arena already sold out. It's a big Independence Weekend. And the number one boxing fan, Sonny, you got to give it to the Latinos. And right now, Canelo is the face of boxing. And the Mexicans, they come out to support their warrior. So we're expecting a huge weekend of fight fans celebrating and all around the globe, people watching.
Geographically, Namdi, is Vegas a good venue for the Latino Hispanic fight fan?
Oh, yeah, Sonny, remember, they can drive from Los Angeles. Los Angeles is a big Latino city. They can go from Los Angeles to Las Vegas in 3 hours or less than 3 hours. You jump on a plane from L.A. to Vegas, that's 45 minutes, you know. You have Arizona right there. You have all the cities, all Latinos, you know, and they come out. And not only that, when you come to Las Vegas, Sonny, come on, you do the table, you do the casinos, and all that happens in Vegas, we say, stay in Vegas.
Whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
It must stay in Vegas.
Keep our lips sealed.
Yeah, you get in trouble when you get home.
My lips are sealed. Namdi, is there a rematch clause for Canelo Triple G?
Yes, Sonny, interestingly, there's a rematch clause. And in this rematch clause, it says, if Canelo wins, there's no rematch.
Mm.
If Triple G wins, there is a rematch.
Why is that?
Why is that? That's a good question. Because a rematch with Triple G and Canelo will bring in more money. And that's why the promoter wants. And if Canelo destroys Triple G, why do you want to see a rematch?
Is Oscar De La Hoya the promoter, Namdi?
Oscar De La Hoya is the one and only promoter. And to also add to it, Sonny, this fight will be shown in 400 movie theaters in America.
Voice of America!
You're talking about eyeballs from all around the globe. It's a big weekend for boxing, and it's a fight the fans want to see, and we're looking for action, and we're waiting for action.
Namdi, let's move up to the heavyweight division. And earlier this week, Anthony Joshua, the reigning champ, was in Cardiff, Wales, where he'll fight the Bulgarian Kubrat Pulev on October 28th. And at stake will be several of AJ's title belts. How's that one shaping up?
Well, Sonny, interestingly, fight tickets went on sale Monday in the UK. 70,000 tickets went out of the door quickly. And this fight will be held at Cardiff Municipality Stadium, setting a record for any event at this venue. Wow, Sonny, this venue will hold 80,000 people, and they're shooting for sellout. If you've already done 70,000 before October, that just shows you right there, homeboy is still banking.
AJ, definitely banking. On that note, Namdi, why would he even want to come to the United States when he's getting such big numbers there in Europe?
That's why, Sonny, everybody says he needs to come to the United States to fight Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder cannot sell out his hometown arena in Alabama. Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua belongs to Wembley, where they will do 90,000 guaranteed. Then after that fight, whatever happens to that fight, then we can come back and talk about T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Because right now, in the fight game, nobody can sell this number of tickets in one day. 70,000 in one day.
Mm.
And this arena is an open arena, so they will have what you call a closed roof. Because October in the UK is going to be cold.
What can you tell our VOA boxing fans, Namdi, about this Bulgarian Pulev?
Well, he's a big boy, 6'4". And, you know, Anthony Joshua is 6'5". He's sloppy heavyweight. It's not, it's okay. How he became the number one contender is just a mystery to me. This is a guy that Vladimir Klitschko stopped in 5, which means Anthony Joshua has no business getting off the floor to stop this guy.
Mm.
He must take him out in less than 6 rounds. If he takes this guy into the 10th round and he's huffing and puffing and sweating and getting off the floor and all that, shaking himself, that will look really, really bad. Nothing less than the destruction of Pulev on October 28th. Take the fight to him. Take him out quickly. End the fight in the 3rd or 4th round so we can all get ready for Deontay Wilder.
And what about Deontay Wilder? What does he have coming up, Namdi?
Well, Sonny, 2 heavyweight fights coming up that will shape what will happen in 2018. September 24th in Manchester, Joseph Parker, the WBO heavyweight champion, will take on Hugh Fury. You know who Hugh Fury is, the cousin of the madman, what you call him, Tyson Fury, the Gypsy King. And that's for the WBO title. Then Deontay Wilder will take on Luis Ortiz from Cuba, November 4th at Barclays Center in New York City. The winner of this fight will then tangle with Anthony Joshua in 2018, and it's going to be a beautiful year, big year for heavyweight boxing.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
There's a dark and troubled side of life, one that's filled with care and
part, and the sunshine will brighten up your heart. We'll keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side, keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten all the way, if you keep on the sunny side of life. And you'll always turn away the tide. Light your hopes and you'll come smiling through, if you picture that rainbow in the blue. And keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side, keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten all the way, on the sunny side of life. Just remember to sing out real strong when you find the road is hard and long, and your burden won't be hard to bear, for the laughter will drive away your care. Oh, keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side, keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten all the way, if you keep on the sunny side of life. Oh, keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side, keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten.
That's the late American country singer Boxcar Willie with his version of Keep on the Sunny Side of Life. Born LaCille Travis Martin in Texas in 1931, Boxcar Willie was originally a character in a ballad he wrote, but he later adopted it as his own stage name. Boxcar Willie served in the United States Air Force. He sang in the old-time hobo music style, complete with dirty face, overalls, and a floppy hat. Boxcar Willie died in 1999 of leukemia. He was 67. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Happy Friday, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, and happy Friday to you as well, Sonny.
Boxcar kind of gets us in that happy mood, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's Friday. How can you not be happy when it's Friday, end of the week?
Well, what's trending, Andrew?
Well, earlier in the show, we heard from Kofi Opari, of course, the great DC United star. And another star in DC is making headlines today, and this is Alex Ovechkin, of course, star with the Washington Capitals of the National Hockey League. He's always loved DC, but he's always loved his home country of Russia, and he loves to compete on the world stage representing Russia. And Alex Ovechkin's hope was that he would be able to do that next year in the 2018 Winter Olympics. But back in April, the National Hockey League announced that the professional hockey players in the league would not be allowed to participate in the Olympics. They said it would be too disruptive to the hockey season. And this week, the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, solidified that ruling by the NHL by barring countries from asking any NHL players to play in the Olympics. So after months of hoping he would play, Ovechkin has finally gotten the word that no, it's definitely not going to happen. So he has put out a lengthy online statement today. He said he's very disappointed with the IOC, the NHL, that the players can't play. He says, "This is not just about me, but all the NHL players who want to play and have a chance to win gold for their country. Our countries are now not allowed to ask us to play in the Olympics. Me, my teammates, and all players who want to go all lose. So do all the fans that he says would love to see their players on the world stage." And he says, it stinks that we will not be there to play. Of course, he doesn't say the word stinks. He uses a different word that we can't say on air, but not happy with this decision. A lot of fans saying this is a great heartfelt statement from Ovechkin. Many hockey fans and hockey players are in agreement with this. They'd love to see the players go and play in the Olympics. It's one of the highlights for hockey fans to see these players play for their home countries. And so there's a lot of disappointment, and that's echoed in this statement from Ovechkin, but it's getting a lot of attention on social media.
And those Winter Olympics taking place early in 2018, and the IOC president this week, Thomas Bach, says there is no plan B, Andrew, that they're going ahead with these Olympics in South Korea, not far from the border of North Korea, very tense political climate, but looks like we're going to have the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang.
Yeah, they will be there, except there will be no National Hockey League players there participating, unfortunately.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, an unfortunate incident last Sunday in Detroit, Michigan, at the Detroit Lions' first game of the season in the National Football League. A Lions fan took a photo of two African-American fans who were sitting during the national anthem. Now, as we've talked about, players have knelt or sat during the national anthem in the National Football League, most notably Colin Kaepernick, to protest the treatment of African-Americans. And so these two African-American fans sat during the national anthem. Somebody took a photo of them and posted it to social media, and he captioned the photo with a racial slur, and he said that if they didn't like America, they could get out. Well, this photo made the rounds on social media, and it made the rounds all the way up to the Detroit Lions, and the team has announced that that fan who posted that photo and the racial slur is no longer welcome at Ford Field, home of the Detroit Lions. They say there is no place for that kind of language or behavior in the National Football League or with the Detroit Lions, and so that fan has been banned for life from ever seeing the team again in their home field. This is a really troubling incident. You know, sports and social issues really have gone hand in hand for many years, but particularly the past couple years, as we talked about the kneeling incidents and a lot of athletes speaking out against racial injustice and other injustices. So a lot of talk about this incident, but praise for the Detroit Lions at how they handled this. They addressed it quickly, and they said this fan does not represent us and he is not coming back.
And these type of fan incidents, not just here in the States, Andrew. I mean, even earlier this week, I had a story about Chelsea Football Club targeting some of its fans that were singing an anti-Semitic song during a match and how they might be banned for life from these matches. So it's a real, real hotbed issue right now.
It is. And while it's sad to see these issues come up, it's heartening to see just how many fans speak out against them. And it's the vast minority of people who engage in these kind of reprehensible behaviors. It's the majority of fans who say that's not who we represent. So that is heartening to see so many fans step up.
Well, Cleveland Indians baseball fans can take heart, Andrew. It's 22, a record 22 and counting. Tell us about that.
My gosh, Sonny, you know, 22 wins, officially the longest winning streak in Major League Baseball history. And not only did they get to 22 wins, Sonny, but this was the closest they've gotten to losing in weeks. They were down 1-2 against the Kansas City Royals, down to their last strike in the game. One swing of the bat and they are done. Game over, lost. And Cleveland shortstop Francisco Lindor hits a deep line drive. It's heading to Kansas City's outfielder Alex Gordon, and it hits the wall just above Gordon's head, just misses his glove, can't make the catch. Eric Gonzalez runs home from second base, scores, ties the game, and then in extra innings, Jay Bruce hits a deep line drive, driving in the run. The scenes from this that I'm seeing on social media, the videos, it's not like they won a playoff game. This looks like they won the World Series. The fans are up on their feet. All the players are mobbing each other on the field. It is such a cool scene to see. Now the question is, can they get to 26? Because, as we talked about, the 1916 New York Giants won 26 games, or they went 26 games without losing. They didn't win all those 26 games because one of them was a tie. So that's the next record that Cleveland is aiming for. But they are celebrating in Cleveland today. It is a milestone win for them. So congratulations to the Cleveland Indians.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Have a good weekend, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny. You too.
And that wraps up the September 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sule Terawali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
The United States has expanded its offer of rewards for information on key leaders of terrorist organizations to include a leader of one of the groups conducting attacks on government facilities and other targets in northern Nigeria, roiling the nation in sectarian violence. Abu Bakr Shekau is the leader of the group commonly known as Boko Haram, a Nigeria-based extremist organization seeking to overthrow the current government there and replace it with a regime based on a strict interpretation of Islamic law. Links with terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab have strengthened Boko Haram's capacity to conduct its attacks. Previously, the group's number two, Shekau claimed overall command in July 2010, expressing solidarity with Al-Qaeda and threatening the United States. A vehicle bomb attack on the United Nations headquarters in Abuja in August 2011 marked the group's first lethal operation against Western interests, killing at least 23 people and injuring 80 others. In April 2012, the group bombed a Nigerian newspaper office in Abuja and later threatened other local and international news outlets, including The Voice of America. Under his leadership, the group has kidnapped hundreds of children to serve as hostages, bearers, and even fighters, most recently in the northeastern town of Damasak. Shekau is tall, slim, and has a dark complexion. He was born in Yobe, Nigeria, sometime between 1965 and 1975, and is of the Kanuri ethnicity. He speaks Arabic, Hausa, Fulani, and Kanuri. He is known to have used the aliases Abu Bakr Sikwa and Imam Abu Bakr Shiku. The Rewards for Justice program is offering a reward of up to $7 million for information leading to Shekau's location. The U.S. promises that all credible reports will be investigated, and the identity of all informants will be kept confidential. If appropriate, the U.S. is prepared to protect informants by relocating them and their families. If you have information on this man, contact the nearest U.S. embassy or consulate, or submit a tip to www.rewardsforjustice.net. or email information to info@rewardsforjustice.net. You may also call the Rewards for Justice tip line at 1-800-877-3927.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.